Would you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 with me this morning? 1 Corinthians 11. Thank you, worship team, for leading us. Really enjoyed that Keith Getty chorus. And just your leadership, it's good. I want us to look for a few minutes at 1 Corinthians 11. I want us to sort of prepare our hearts to come to the Lord's table. Jesus' ministry just amazes me. I think it amazes everybody, but in 3 years of ministry, he ignited the church, which continues to grow today. Did you ever just think of that? 2,000 years ago, he started. And today, here we are. The church grows all around the world. Partly that was because that was the plan that was laid before the foundation of the earth. We know God will accomplish his plan. We also know that during his earthly ministry, Jesus was a great teacher. And then we know that he gave his life on the cross because of the greatness of God's love for the world. This morning I want us to look at an ordinary word that Jesus used to communicate the greatness of his love. And the word is body. When I use the word body, or when I say the word body, instantly pictures come to your mind. And if I put an adjective in front of that body, in front of that word, different pictures come to your mind. Just think, human body. If you're into biology, you're probably thinking arteries, muscles, skeleton. If you're into cars and I say auto body, my little grandson, my first grandson, loves cars. He'll pick up a dinky toy and he'll just examine the whole thing. And yesterday, we celebrated his birthday, and he brought to me a book from his great-grandmother, and it was sort of like a catalog of antique cars. And so we enjoyed identifying various cars that were in that catalog, car body. If I say body of truth, different picture will come into your mind. Well, Jesus talked about his body in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. In fact, Jesus, in the passages I want to look at this morning, I want to skip around to a few different passages. I want us to see Jesus using the word body in three different contexts. And they'll bring three different pictures to our minds that I trust will encourage us, even excite us, as we come to the Lord's table. But let's start at verse 25 of chapter 11. Of course, Paul is writing, and Jesus met Paul on the road to Damascus after he had been crucified. And he communicated to the Apostle Paul certain things. And Paul tells us about this here in verse 23. Let's start at verse 23. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, may your spirit be at work in our minds and our hearts this morning, we ask. Take these word pictures, we ask, and cause them to live for us, so that as we come to the Lord's table, we may worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. the bread. That's the word picture. The bread. At the time, Jesus was holding the bread. And he was breaking it. His body, the picture that he wanted to convey, was that his body would be broken on the cross. John the Baptist had identified him as the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Jesus was killed, literally. His body was broken, and the broken bread is a reminder that Jesus loved us so much that he was willing to endure the agony. The agony physically that was required in being crucified. But the Bible brings across this, to us the idea that that was not the greatest agony. But he had the agony of taking our sin upon himself for us and paying the penalty for our sin. And that gives us reason when we come to the Lord's table for seriousness. It gives us a reason for to be solemn. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." A simple word picture that reminds us that Jesus really, literally gave his body for us. He did that for me. He did that for you. And that should cause us to say, "Thank you, Lord. What love is this that caused you to give that gift to me?" But I want to take us to a second picture. And it's the picture of Christians being the body of Christ. We were looking at that a couple of weeks ago in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And that chapter reminds us that we are parts of the body that are necessary for its health and success. We are part of the body that is the church, the body of Christ. God has given us gifts to minister, to serve others. The Holy Spirit distributes the gifts as he thinks is best. And then Paul goes on to say in that chapter that the body is a unit with many parts. We are parts of the body. Jesus is the head, directing the functioning of his body, and we are to trust and respond to his direction, his wise, loving direction. Two weeks ago, I said that if you had a question about spiritual gifts, we would talk about them in the morning or in the Sunday school adult class. Last Sunday, guess what? I came to Sunday school just anxious to get into Romans, completely forgot about it. And so if you came to hear those, to ask some questions, would you come next Sunday? And we'll take them up, okay? Somebody will help me remember, and we won't forget next Sunday. But it's a good discussion, and I trust that you'll come and be involved in it. But the other thing I just wanted to mention, many people have done the survey. And if you haven't done the survey yet, there are still some copies of the spiritual gift survey on the welcome desk. Just go and get one and use it. But I don't want to stop there. I want the conversation to continue. I want for people to talk with one another. And don't be embarrassed to say, "What do you think my spiritual gift is? can you talk with me so that we can talk about that? You know, when I went into ministry, before I went into ministry, I was wondering if the Lord was really calling me into ministry. And at one point, I went to Pastor Galbraith, and he said to me, "What do you think your spiritual gifts are?" So I shared a few. And I included in that administration. And I can still remember Mary was there with us in that little discussion, and she was doing this. And I've come to the same conclusion many years later, but she was very perceptive at that point. And you know, there are some times when we think that we have certain abilities, and you know, it's just not true. It's just not a reality. And we need one another just to help us and to funnel us in the right direction. And so please don't stop talking. You know, if you haven't found somebody to talk to, come and talk to me. And we'll try to process together, and I trust that you'll find it to be a loving dynamic. I want you to continue on there. We are part of the body of Christ. And there may be times that you become discouraged and think that the church is just filled with inadequate people. Well, you know what? The reality is we are. That's just where we are, and we're growing. Christ, though, is fully capable. And we are people whom he loves and whom he is knitting together as holy as his body. We are people for whom Jesus gave his body. And we need to keep our eyes on that and say, "Lord, help me, lead me, grow me, teach me, help me to know what you are doing in my life." That's the second picture. But I'd like to go to the third picture, and there's only one PowerPoint slide for this one, and it's going to stay there for the rest of the service or for the rest of the message, okay? So if you find me going on and on and on and you're wondering if maybe there's another slide, there isn't. This is the last one. I want us to focus on it because it's going to change our attitude a little bit. The third picture is that the church is the bride of Christ. Let's turn to Revelation for a minute. Revelation chapter 19. In Revelation 19, there's this interesting picture. And I don't want to read the whole chapter. I'd like to just read verses 6 to 8. "Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters and like loud peals of thunder shouting, 'Hallelujah! For our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory. For, look at this, the wedding of the Lamb has come and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear. Fine linen stands for the righteous acts of the saints.'" Now let's turn to chapter 21. "Then I saw a new heaven," in verse 1. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.'" What do you think of when you think of the word bride? What picture comes to mind? Young, wedding, beautiful. Hold on to those pictures. The church is the bride of Christ. A bride prepared for her husband. You know something? A young couple decides to marry one another, to achieve their aspirations together. Both of them doing all they can to work together toward common dreams. The day of a bride's wedding, the day of the wedding of a young couple, is in some ways so short, but so significant. Several decades ago, Pastor Galbraith had a big impact in my life. But he performed a wedding for Mary Lambert and Colin McKenzie. And Mary was the most beautiful bride there ever was. And I was happy. But even I didn't know how happy I was until I saw the wedding pictures showing us coming out the door of the church. And I had the biggest smile I never thought was possible to wear. We were both committed to giving our lives to one another completely in marriage. In Revelation 21, believers are described as the bride of Christ. And to use the words of Romans chapter 8, we will be conformed to the likeness of Christ. That beautiful. Do you know what the will of God is? That we would be conformed to the likeness of Christ. And I believe when he talks about the bride in her linen dress, that's what he's talking about. Those garments of righteousness. Beautiful. You might be thinking that the church doesn't look that beautiful. In fact, you may not have had all that wonderful an experience with marriage. But let me say this. There are some people who are selfish and abusive in their relationships. Jesus is the contrast. He is the one groom who leaves his bride more beautiful as life goes on than when she first was, when she first met him. I think Ephesians chapter 5 helps us a little bit in this. Would you turn there with me for a minute? Because we're going to just rest there for a few seconds. Because there's a passage there that I often go to in the context of marriage, human marriage, I mean. And Paul, in the middle of it, says he's talking about the church. So I'd like to just read verses, I think starting at verse 25. And then we'll make a few observations. Verse 25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church. Sorry, I'm doing things to cause all kinds of disruption here. And to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. We're going to stop there. But I am talking about Christ and the church. Verse 29 talks about Christ caring for the church as the husband should care for his body, for his bride. In verses 30 to 31, he talks about our response to him. You know, in a marriage, we are called to leave our mother and father. We're called to leave our family and form a new family. As the bride of Christ, what does he call us to do? He calls us to leave behind old affections and cling to Christ. As the bride of Christ, we have chosen to be separated to him alone in the same way God designed a husband and wife in marriage. And so if you're here this morning and you're thinking, well, Christ is just one of those things I do. No, I'm sorry. Christ is not just one of those things you do. Christ is number one. He is the one thing we do. He is Lord. And we separate ourselves to him in the way that a husband and wife separate themselves to one another. In Revelation 19, when it talks about the bride being dressed in fine linen, bright and clean, it says. I believe that's God's work of transforming us into the image of Christ. Maybe another way we would express it is as the fruit of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwelling within us and transforming us so that we become characterized by love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness. I didn't count. Self-control is the last one, I know. Those are the things that make us beautiful as a bride. And maybe you're thinking, I'll never be like that. But here's the response. In Sunday school, we've been looking at Romans chapter 7 a little bit. And we understand, you know, that there are times when we say, I want to do this, but I don't do it. And there are things that I know I shouldn't do. And what do? I go ahead and do them. And Paul comes to the end of that and he says, what am I going to do? Who will rescue me from this terrible thing? And his answer is, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. I will be rescued. What am I doing, Stan? Am I doing something? Can you help me there? We just turn that off. We want to be dressed in fine linen. We want to bring glory to the Lord. And that is his design, that we will, as we depend upon him and the work of the Holy Spirit, we will meet him as the bride of Christ. But this picture of being the bride of Christ is seen in Jesus' life too, not just ours. It reminds us of Christ's faithfulness. Think of it. Despite our sin, he gave himself up for us. He has covenanted to transform us. He gave up the glory of heaven for us. He cares for us as his own body. Because we are his body, we are building on a solid foundation for the future. And that picture of being the bride of Christ should put a smile on our face. It should cause us to rejoice. It should cause us to come to the communion table with a sense of celebration. This is what our Savior has done for us. He has loved us that much. It should remind us of the extent of God's love for us. For God so loved the world, right? I want to be loved. I'm sure you want to be loved. He loved me so much, he gave his literal body for us on the cross. He loves us so much, he's made the church his body. And we have the privilege of serving him and caring for the needs of other parts of his body. He loves us so much. He pictures us as his bride. It is growing in beauty. One day we will celebrate fully at the marriage supper of the Lamb. But we don't need to wait until then to celebrate. We can celebrate today. We can celebrate tomorrow. We can celebrate every day of our life. And we should allow our minds to go there. In fact, we need to allow our minds to go there to be healthy. The angels in heaven celebrate when one sinner repents. Isn't that right? They start the celebration early. And we should be with them. And so when we come to the communion table this morning, we remember the greatness of the gift Jesus provided. But we also remember the completeness of the task that he achieved on the cross. Let's celebrate. Worship team, would you come and lead us?